If you're ready, then I'll just go ahead and get started.
Absolutely.
Cool. All right. So a little bit ago, we were talking about some pretty cool stuff about cryptocurrencies on the phone, some things that I didn't even know. And I really wanted to take this opportunity to share it with some of the people that we'll be meeting in the webinar on April 16th. And although I know we're trying to keep your name out of all of this for right now, until the webinar, I really wanted people to hear from you and to hear what you had to say about cryptocurrencies and some of the really neat stuff that you have done with cryptocurrencies and your own trading, just over the past several months or so. So just, you know, tell us all about it. Tell us about what it is that, you see coming for cryptocurrencies and what you've done in the past. Yeah, I was just going to hand it over to you, man. Go ahead.
Okay, thanks, Wes. I don't know what your listeners might be expecting, but I hope that I'm not going to rock anybody's boat too bad. I hope that what I've got to tell them will be kind of interesting about cryptocurrencies. I know this really isn't a conversation about cryptocurrencies. It's more a conversation about how to read the markets, how to understand what's going on, how to take advantage of opportunities when you see them, and when to know, hey, it is time to act now. And so I was telling you before, I had the interesting fortune to I was very late to the crypto, or not to the cryptocurrency party, but the Bitcoin party. I'd been buying and selling Litecoin for a while, from when it was below 20 all the way up into the 200s, going in and out, you know, and it was such a strong market, I never lost. I just kept making money all the way up, even though I probably would have done better just to buy and hold, with the exception of the fact that the last time I got out, I knew it was the last time and I had to get out, and that turned out to be very prescient. The reason I knew was that finally I took the plunge and bought into Bitcoin at about 10,000. I know it was I knew it was super late, but I thought, wow, you know, if this thing's going to go to 100,000, I'm going to kick myself the whole way, so I better just participate. And so it I got in at 10,000 and it got to 17,000, and I realized that there was a point where I've seen this before. This market is too weak. I need to get out. Now, it's true that Bitcoin over the next 4 days went to 20,000, but then that was it. From that point on, it is, you know, it never returned back to its highs, and 17,000 was about the last moment in time that you could have. I mean, it came back up once more, and where did it come to? It came to 17,000. So, I actually made the sale, and I told somebody the day I made the sale, I said, I'm getting out at 17. I think Bitcoin's done for a little while. I'm going to wait to see where it comes back in again. Now, I didn't know the future. I mean, I never know the future. All I know is I've been reading charts, and I've been studying markets, and I've been trying to understand the vicissitudes of people's attitudes in the indicators and the data that helps you understand supply and demand. And you know, I've been doing this for 20 years, and I've refined my craft and got to a point where, you know, I can't tell what the future is going to bring, but I can tell certain moments of truth that are important to pay attention to that require you to take action of some kind. Now, if you're wrong, you got to have another action prepared. If you're right, you get to sit back and brag about it. You know, so that's the thing is that if you have these other actions prepared, then when you take action, you can limit your risk or limit whatever downside there might be. But if you're wrong, but if you're right, it's a huge payback. It's an asymmetric return on risk, and that's what you're after always in trading, is asymmetric return on risk. So anyway, I saw Bitcoin at the top, and then much later here, more recently, right around the 4th or 5th of March, I had an interesting conversation with my son. My son's a pretty sharp kid. He mines Ethereum, And he does it in a way that I just love to brag about him because, of course, he's my son, and I like him. He's great. But I told him last year, hey, you really should look into crypto. He's a techno nut and Apple acolyte, and I just he's actually into all things tech, and he works for an engineering software company, and he's very, very talented. Anyway, he. I told him a year ago, you really ought to check out cryptocurrency. And then he came back and he told me what he's doing. He says, Dad, I'm using AWS to mine Ethereum. But he was using it in such a way that he was getting this sort of low cost server time that AWS has this Amazon Workspace services is what it is. It's literally a virtual computer. You spin it up out of nothing. And you pay for it, and if you get it during the off time, you can get it really cheap. And so that's what he was doing. And so because it was really cheap, then he could spin it up, get all these super powered cycles, and mine Ethereum with it. And when it got expensive, he'd shut it down. So he'd only do it during these cheap times, and as a result, that was allowing him to mine Ethereum, Ethercoin at about the price of around 700. Now, this was at a time when Ether was between, when Ethereum was between 900 and 1,000. So he was talking to me. He's like, "I'm doing this and it's working out pretty good, but I'm wondering, do you see any problem?" Because he knows I'm pretty good at looking at it. I said, "Yeah, it's bouncing up and down. It's trending down, but it's around 1,000 now, and so you should be okay." And then a couple of weeks later, all of a sudden he was calling me, and like I said, it was about March 3rd or 4th, 5th, somewhere in there. And I got on the phone with him. I looked quickly at the charts, and just as I was looking, two 15-minute bars just rocketed lower, and they came in at much higher volume than there hadn't been. This was late at night, in the U.S., and so I'm assuming it had to be something in the Asian markets, but it was just unusually high volume, and Ethereum had been low volume for a month, and within 30 minutes there was as much volume as had been in an entire day, and I looked at that and thought, a market like that doesn't just break down out of the middle of nowhere, no news, no nothing, and no price support, no buyers, right? It's just pushing lower. It doesn't do that just for fun. And so I called him back and I said, "Look, I think now's a pretty good time for you to sell." And since then, I mean, from that day, Ethereum has just done nothing but drop. So I was telling him just today, I was having a conversation with him, and I said, I think this is it. I think this is the bottom for Ethereum. I don't know for sure. I mean, I don't know the future. But what I do know is that this 400 price point around which it's tracking right now is extremely important on the charts. And there's a couple of reasons why. If you're looking at the charts, you go back to the June time frame in 2017, and then the late August time frame. Both around those times, Ethereum gets up and peaks at 400. And then in November, just after Thanksgiving, it breaks through 400 and rockets higher. And it took almost about the same time, a little longer to come down than to go up, but it's kind of this triangle shape that is on the charts from Thanksgiving until now. And so 400 was the old breaking point. We're right back down there, and we're kind of holding there, at least as we're recording this conversation. So I'm looking at this and I'm saying, this is a moment of truth, not just for Ethereum, but for the whole cryptocurrency market. And the reason is that Ethereum is technically more robust, more interesting. There's so much more you can do with it than Bitcoin. And Bitcoin's kind of the flagship. It's like, if there's any value in cryptocurrency, it's in Bitcoin. But if there's value in Bitcoin, there's really value in Ethereum. Meanwhile, the opposite is true. If there's no value in Ethereum, there's a good chance there's not much value in Bitcoin. And so I'm looking at this 400 price and I'm thinking, this is a moment of action. Either the markets are going to go up from here, the cryptocurrency markets, and they may not go up very fast. It might take them a long time because people are kind of, you know, the bubble has burst. People are kind of skeptical about cryptocurrency right now. But if the technology is solid, then there will be big banks and large investors that will all come in and they will invest, and they'll probably be investing right around this area. So this is the way I see it. There's a moment of truth, and Ethereum is the indicator. If Ethereum breaks 300, if it goes down from 400 to 300, if it hits 300 before it hits 500, then I believe that's a signal that the market is giving us that the whole cryptocurrency thing is just Pokemon cards. it's not going to happen. You know, it's a year or two from now, we're going to look back and say, boy, what were we thinking? But really, the truth is that blockchain, the blockchain technology underneath it, that's actually solid. It's going to do something. It's going to change lives. But cryptocurrencies, everybody's assumed that they were the same thing. If blockchain was going to succeed, then cryptocurrencies had to increase in value massively in order for that to happen. It might be that we're at a moment of truth where we're saying, you know, that doesn't have to happen. We can create value out of blockchain software through normal platforms, through IBM or R3's Corda platform or whatever. And we don't really need to spend money trying to build up the Bitcoin network to make it happen. And if that's the case, then institutional investors are going to stop putting their money into cryptocurrencies and put it into blockchain implementations. And we don't have any way of knowing that. They do that. They make those decisions in closed door meetings and consortiums and dinner parties and whatever else. You know, they that's where they make those decisions, and it doesn't show up in financial statements somewhere. But the first place it shows up on is in a price chart. And that's why technical analysis, if you understand kind of how to use it, you don't use it, you don't look at a platform and say, or a pattern and say, oh, this pattern predicts the future. It doesn't. But it does give you moments of action. And these moments of action are important. Well, not only is there a price, you know, old resistance, new potential support, but there's a big volume change. There was a huge volume spike when Ethereum broke 400, and then it's been dead. Volume has been dead until just the late March and April timeframe, and now volume is spiking again. The big question we have in mind is the volume spiking because people are finally panicking and bailing out? Or institutions coming back saying, you know we're going to use this thing. Now's a good time for us to buy in. So we want to watch that 400, because if we cross 500 before we cross 300, what that means, what we can infer from that, is institutional people believe Ethereum and blockchain are connected at the hip. If it crosses 300 before it crosses 500, the opposite is true. That's the moment of truth I think we're facing. So there it is, Wes. I just wanted to point people out of that. Now, that's a small thing. A much bigger thing is happening in the stock market, but I think that's another conversation.
Well, yeah, and I was actually just thinking about that as you were talking about the looking at the charts and not being able to tell the future, but looking for points of action where you can take action. Instead of reacting to the market, we take action at certain points that we know that, you know, things have gone in a certain way in the past based on the information that we're looking at. So although we don't know for sure, we have an opportunity to take advantage of something that we feel has a high probability of working out in our favor. And that's kind of what's happening in the market in general right now. And it's going to be huge for people who know about the opportunity and who know how to take advantage of the opportunity, not just with cryptocurrencies. In fact, I personally don't dabble with cryptocurrencies, but it kind of points to what we should be looking at in the rest of the market as well, which we're going to be talking about April 16th. It's what we're going to be talking about in the webinar. Is we're going to be talking about some of the things that are going on a grander scale that we can use to our advantage in our own investments, and or maybe even not to make money, but to save ourselves from losing money. Like that's what you talked about with your son too. Was it wasn't an opportunity to make money. That was, you know, you called him back and told him to get out. That was an opportunity to save to save from being in a downward market that could have cost him any profit and probably more than what he had invested in it. And that's what we're looking for. You know, we're looking to really get in and maximize the profit and minimize the loss. And that's a big part of that's one of the biggest things I've been learning from you lately, is not necessarily trying to predict the future, which, you know, I was trying to do for a very long time, but it's more trying to find points where we can make an informed decision, where we can take action rather than reacting, like when the market falls and we end up going into a loss and we react to, you know, where we should have been watching more intently, taking action and not being acted upon. I don't know if that makes sense or anything, but just
absolutely. But,
that's what I've been learning from you a lot lately, and that's what I'm hoping everyone's going to be able to get from you as well. And
I'm excited to be able to chat with your audience, Wes, because I mean, it's going to take a couple of weeks for this to play out. But what's going on both in the U.S. stock market and in the euro U.S. dollar is one of those critical moments of action that you know just calls for investors to take action. And it's going to be fun because the timing is going to be just right to be talking about it. So thanks for getting this conversation going.
Yeah. Thank you for being here, man. And we'll see everyone in the webinar April 16th. We'll probably have a couple more of these podcast episodes before then. And I'll make sure that everyone who is registered for the webinar gets all of these podcasts as well as a recording of the webinar afterward. And thanks for being here. And thanks for listening, everybody. And goodbye for now.